Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. When we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last.
I'll tell you what, I remember sitting by my dad's leg watching that on TV, and I was moved as a child. And I'm going to tell you something, that guy was willing to die for what he believed. That's no less than what God is calling you to do. If you're going to rebuild your life, you're going to have to die for what you believe. You're going to have to die to yourself. You see that? You're going to have to die to yourself for what you believe and take a stand. And no matter what, I'm going to do this. When I think of Martin Luther King, I get a rise inside of me. It gives me strength. It literally gives me strength because he just had courage. It encourages me. You know, that was nothing but evil. That should have never even existed. And that's nothing but man. God didn't have anything to do with that. That's man's evil. And the Bible says that evil returns to man. If man starts it out, then he's the one responsible for it. So everyone who is involved in that or who is involved in that today will be responsible and will have to answer to God for it. And that's the way it is. You will answer to that. So that right there, that shouldn't even be an issue in the kingdom of God. That's why we don't talk about racial reconciliation. There's no such thing in the kingdom, right? In the kingdom, we're all the same at the foot of the cross. And that's the way it is. And I'm not going to get in a big spiel on that, but I want you to understand that this is the kind of stand we're going to have to take to rebuild our lives. And it's going to take some work on our part and working with God. It's not going to just fall on us. And we're going to Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the capital or citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, I had my message all worked out, and then I had to do a funeral. I tell you, I've done several funerals in the past, and God has done something in my heart as far as convicting me. And so my message has changed this week. It just changed. Actually, it changed yesterday. I thought about it on Thursday, but it changed yesterday. So we're gonna do a whole, it's all still rebuilding your lives, but I want you to listen to this. The people had come from, they were on their way to Jerusalem, and they were out of captivity. So in other words, they had been saved, right? That's what that represents. It says in verse 2, who had survived the captivity, who had escaped and survived the captivity. They escaped. That's really a picture of coming out of Egypt. Egypt represents the world. Actually, it's a picture of being saved. And so now they were on to Jerusalem. They had been redeemed, but they had not been restored. And then Nehemiah was called to rebuild that wall. And the wall was the wall for protection, right? That's what the wall was. He was called to reestablish the civil government and also to make it a center of refuge and rescue and safety. And that's what God is doing in our lives. He's restoring authority in our lives, and He's also going to make you a person of safety, a person of refuge. In other words, people will come to you, and you will have an experience and have things to share with them that will help give them answers, real answers to real problems in life. We're not just going to church and being religious. God has real answers for real problems in this real world. And that's what the body of Christ is. And that's what God has every answer that we all need. But it's only going to happen as we do it His way and stay connected and keep going in His direction. So, today we're going to talk about something different. It talks about distress, all right? Verse 3 says, who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. Remember, the word distress is the word affliction. Affliction, or it means crushed or dashed into pieces. So that's what the people were. They were in distress. Then it says they were in reproach. Remember what reproach is? Disgrace or shame. See, a lot of people carry shame and they can't rebuild anything because they're so inundated with that shame from their past that they really can't go forward. And that could be drug addiction, that could be sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, that could be all kinds of abuse. I'm going to tell you something. We all need healing. Every one of us. And that's part of the rebuilding. God can heal you, but we have to do our part. He sent His word to heal us. So the idea is, God is trying to get the grace back into His people, and as we get the grace, then actually we're going to be able to spread the grace, right? Grace, He gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. He gives grace to the humble. We're going to God, we're dependent on Him. Now as we get it, then we're going to give it to people coming in. People coming in, they may confess Christ and become a believer, but they may fall down and make a mistake or end up back in a drug addiction or whatever. But we keep loving them and giving them grace because we've been through things and we've overcome. Now we can really give them grace. You see that? That's how people are saved. We don't judge them. We don't criticize them. We just continue to give them grace and assistance and keep them connected in the body. But if you disconnect, you see, apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the body of Christ, right? This is not the only body, but this is the body of Christ, right? And the Bible says in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh. That's us now. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth.
That's what we're to be, full of grace and full of truth, not condemnation and judging and criticizing, right? So today we're going to talk about being saved, salvation. The word saved, remember, it means to be made whole from many scattered parts. And as you're being saved, love, faith, hope, all those things are going to come together and be put in their rightful place as you're being saved. Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved by grace. Let's go there real quick. For by grace you have been saved. That's past tense, isn't it? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know what? I had the privilege a couple weeks ago, someone called me, somebody in this community said they heard us on the radio, and they heard about us, and they told him to call me, and he had cancer. And the doctors told him they don't know how long he had to live, like he was getting ready to pass away. He said, I know that I haven't been saved, but I need to be saved. And he called me as like 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, I can help you out. Well, then he ended up going to the hospital in Dayton. So I went down to Dayton in the morning and talked to him and his wife, and never met him before. But he talked about how he had done all these things and not ever was saved. And so I shared with him and helped him see it. And he says, I know I need to be saved because I want to make sure I go to heaven. And so he accepted the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. His eyes had a twinkle in them from that moment. He was genuinely saved. Then I got a cup of water and we baptized him right there. Yeah. We baptized him right in the hospital. And it was genuine. Now, have you been saved? For by grace, you have been saved. Past tense. What about now? What about future? You see, a lot of people think they're saved. They go to church on a regular basis, but they're not really sure. And you know what? There's really no evidence. Their will is the primary thing. Not God's will, their will. So we're going to show you something today. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this: the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, you're being saved, it's from the power of God. See, that's present. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. See, for by grace we have been saved. That's past tense. We are being saved, the message of the cross, we're being saved, and now we will be saved. Past, present, future. And it says, we have been saved through by grace, we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is lest anyone should boast, it is a gift of God. When you make it to heaven, there won't be any boasting. There won't be any, well, I did what I was supposed to do, that's how I got here. You ended up there only by the grace of God. Now, my question to you this morning, are you saved? The word saved, remember, sozo, to be made whole from many scattered parts. God will put your life together in the way that He originally designed it as you obey His word and walk in it. Now watch this. We are triune beings. Our bodies will be saved because they're decaying. If you get healed of a disease or cancer, you're still going to die physically. So your body is decaying. You will be saved. Now, our minds is our soul. You remember, your soul is your mind, will, and your emotion. That is what God is saving now. That's what's being saved. James 1:21 says, it's the implanted word that is able to save your souls. So watch this. Our bodies will be saved because at the resurrection, then we're going to get a new body. No more CrossFit, no more running, you know, eat, you know, they won't be worried about what I'm eating, right? Come on, do you see this? Your bodies will be saved. Our souls are being saved. Our spirits are saved. Your spirit, when you really are born again, is in perfect union and relationship with God. Your spirit. Now, Jesus has done all he's going to do on the cross. Your spirit has a perfect relationship with God, but your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions needs to be saved. Jesus paid the price for our sins. What happens when a person gets saved? All right? Salvation, okay, it's not by works. It's a gift. It's not a goal to achieve. It is a gift to receive. If it is grace, then it's not works. It's not works. It's not something you're doing. Go with me to Romans 11:16 real quick. We're rebuilding lives. We're getting this foundation. Because if you don't have this, then you're not going to rebuild anything. You're just going to keep kidding yourself. This is no time to be kidding ourselves. And this is a time to really get a hold of something. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So you can't work for your grace to save you. It's nothing you're doing. It is a gift. It is a gift, and you can't pay for it. Let's say I bought my son a very expensive gift for Christmas this year. I bought him something really nice. He opens it up, you know, Christmas morning, he opens it up. Man, Dad, you went overboard with this. This is nice. And he's looking at it, admiring it. You know, I spent a lot of money. And I said, okay, now, how do you want to pay for that? Cash or you want to write me a check? See that? It's no longer a gift then, right? It can't be earned. It's a gift. The wages of sin, see, the wages is what you earn. The wages of sin is death. That's what you earn, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life is salvation. Now listen, 1 John 2:25 says, this is the promise that he has given us, eternal life. He can't lie. This is the promise that he has given us, is eternal life. He cannot lie. So he's given us eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says, that you may know, K-N-O-W, you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it and have no question. And John 17:3 says, what is eternal life? This is eternal life, knowing Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. It's knowing Him, having a relationship with Him. And that word know literally means intimacy. One meaning says to go to bed with. You are so close, you know Him. It really has that sexual connotation to it. You're just close. You know. Now, think about this. Eternal life, how long is eternal life? Forever. When you die to self and your own way, that's when eternal life kicks in. When I die physically, then I start eternal life. No. Eternal life starts when you die to yourself and accept Christ. That's when it begins. Now, it talks about in 1 John 5, it says that God has sent His Son to give us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. For this is the true God and eternal life, Jesus. You see, you are not your own when you belong to Him. You're not your own. See, that's the whole idea. Too many people keep doing what they want to do, but yet they say they know Him. They just make plans and they're going to retire and go here, and God hasn't called them over there. I come across this week studying. I just love the Word. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You know what the word voice means? The Greek word? Phone. P-H-O-N-E. Phone. That's the Greek word for voice. Too many people on the phone. talking to the wrong person and think they're going in the right direction. Are you with me? They're not really getting it, tapping into the voice. It's the telephone, televoice. That's what it is. But we need to hear His voice. And too many people want to drown that voice out because it's telling you to go here and do something here, when really that's the will of God for you. May not be what you dreamed or what you thought, but it will really fulfill you and really make your dreams come true when you tap into that voice. All right. Forgiveness. Acts 13:38. Let's go there real quick. If you don't understand forgiveness, you're not going to rebuild anything, because it has the power to keep you from it. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the what? The forgiveness of sins. Go with me to Jeremiah 31, verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. You know what? He's omniscient. So he can remember them. He chooses not to remember your sin. When you get to heaven, and if an angel would come up to you and say to Jesus, well, you know, what did he do on earth? What sins did he do? Jesus would look at him and say, I don't remember. Because he chooses not to. Psalms 103:12, real quick. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, which is sin, from us. There's no measurement, right? They're gone when you're saved. Forgiveness is complete release. Look at this. Justification, Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his what? How do you get grace? Through your relationship with him, right? Grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification, someone said, is just as if I never sinned. But now look, justification is justice for God to sentence you to heaven. God does not send anyone to hell. We're in sin, and because we don't believe, that's how we end up in hell. We don't believe what God did for our justice. Now look at this. We already are on our way to hell because of sin. Now listen. God in His grace sends us to heaven because Jesus paid the full price for our sin. He paid the price for the sin of the entire world. Everybody's sin is paid for in the world. Every person on the planet is paid for. Well, why do they go to hell? Because they don't believe. You see, you have to believe it. Since Jesus paid the full price for my sin, God has to let you go. You know why? Because He can't accuse two people of the same crime. And all our sin, all our punishment was on Jesus on the cross for our sin. And so now He no longer can punish us because it's all on Jesus. It's all on Jesus. That's what happened on the cross. Now listen. Because He is just, He can't punish you for the same crime. He's already punished His Son. So when I accept that, I become free. You see that? I'm free from the sin issue. But now there's a whole lot more I got to work on. Righteousness. Righteousness means in right standing with God. It doesn't mean to do what's right. It means to be in right standing with God. Righteous means to do what's right. When I'm righteous, then I'm doing what's right. But righteousness means to be in right standing with God. Now listen, Romans 4:3. It says, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Jesus did the right thing, and it was accounted. In my account, there was sin. Jesus' account, there was righteousness. On the cross, and when you believe, God took all of the sin out of my account and put it into Jesus' account. Jesus was found guilty for my sin. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 that he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. This is about as big as it gets. Jesus took on the sin of the entire world, but not all people are saved because you have to accept Jesus as your Savior. Jesus. When I believed, then he put Jesus' righteousness in my account, just like it did with Abraham. When Abraham believed, God accounted him as righteous. You must believe it. You see that? You must believe it. It says that he that believes has life. He that does not believe does not have life. You see, the Bible says that demons believe and tremble. Satan believes. But here's the twist. He won't submit to the will of God. That's why he's in hell. Not because he doesn't believe, because he will not submit to the will of God. And that's what I'm going to talk about, the will of God. Now listen, redemption. Adam and Eve lost what God deemed as important in the garden when they sinned and disobeyed God. Jesus came and purchased it back. See, that's what redeemed means. See, what God deemed as valuable and important was in the garden. That Adam and Eve take dominion and care to the garden. That's what we're to do. We're to take dominion. And that's the kingdom in us. Not ruling and controlling people, but controlling ourselves. And when you have self-control, that starts to spread. Others start to have self-control. That's the kingdom in you. Redemption. We are not our own. We have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Go with me quickly to 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased with the blood of Christ. We are no longer our own. We belong to Him. I had another verse I wanted you to look at. I'm going to give it to you, and you can look at it later. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Are you His property? Are you Jesus' private property? A lot of us say that, and we say it lightly, but are we? If you are going to rebuild your life, it takes total commitment. Go with me quickly to Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? How many people run around saying Jesus is Lord? That word Lord means master and ruler. I am under His authority. What's the reason that Nehemiah went back to rebuild? To rebuild the civil authority. That's really the government of God. Ultimately, civil would be like here, it would be the police department and whatever. But in us, it's the authority of God. Now, go with me quickly to Matthew chapter 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen to me now. See, the kingdom of heaven is where we're headed. Kingdom of God is here now. That's His rule in you. Kingdom of heaven is where you're going to spend forever and forever. He says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter in to heaven. But he who does the what? The will of my Father in heaven.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.